iTropics leaving us alone, which is good. We'll take it for the next 7 days, right? That's all you can do at this time of year is go 7 days at a time. Otherwise, hot and humid with that chance for showers in August. Kind of, it starts earlier, I think, in August. 65% total chance for showers. But unlike June and July, it seems like we're into our typical August where it rains earlier, and then again, it'll rain after that. A new poll shows that young adults are less likely to say voting is important, is what I'm trying to say. Aaron Dusso joins us now, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. How you doing, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about this poll and what it shows.
Right. Yeah. So AP NORC, they put out the poll that was asking people, and they broke it down by age group, how much interest they have in politics, how likely they are to participate in politics and that. And what they captured is actually consistent with what we capture whenever we do polls like this, going back many, many decades. Is a kind of life cycle effect is what we say, is that young people tend to always indicate that they're less interested in politics, certainly much less than individuals who are, say, over 50 or 60.
But they care about, I'm just going by my relationships or my interactions with people that are 28 and 30. First of all, what is the age group that they're defining here, Aaron?
They typically say less than 30 or younger. So, and if you're talking voting age, 18 to 20, 29.
So what I found interacting with people of that age is that they're terribly concerned with the political climate, but I find a disconnect in that they don't want to get involved to do anything to change it. Is that accurate or not?
I mean, I see that too. I mean, I teach college classes, mm-hmm. and so I see that age group, the 18 to 22, all the time. And now I have a bias sample because they're taking political science classes, mm-hmm. and so I see a lot of interest in politics and quite regularly. But yeah, the question of do you go from interest to participation is a challenge. That's not just a challenge for the younger group, but it's actually a challenge for all of us. There's a great book called Politics is for Power by Eaton Hirsch, where he documents that people really see politics, no matter what the age group is, as a political hobby, and that we follow it like it's a sport as opposed to something that we need to participate in.
That's what, in Louisiana, we say the two most entertaining sports are politics and football. That's the way
exactly.
And it's true. Politics is for power. I'm going to have to look that up and read that.
Yes.
Let's talk about historically in the country, how this whole at what point do people get involved politically? Because I don't know if you can generally say or not. I know there are some people that get elected to Congress when they're, 30? Other people, when they're 30, they don't even know who their representative is. So take me through that whole process historically in this country, if you would, Aaron.
Right, yeah, that's why we call it a life cycle effect, because what happens is young people from their teens up into their 20s, what happens is they have other things going on. They're trying to establish themselves as adults. They're finishing education. They're trying to find jobs. They're trying to find mates, life partners. And so those things really distract them, a distraction in quotes, because those are important life events. But once they settle down, and they have a stable job, they can start to potentially buy a home or have a stable home. They're not moving around a lot. They marry or they find a life partner. They start having kids. That's when people start engaging in politics. That's when they start joining clubs. That's when they start showing up. That's when they start going to city council meetings, that kind of thing. So it takes time for people to establish themselves in life and also in politics.
Although they don't follow politics, they do follow political issues, right? On social media and so forth.
I mean, we could talk about the campus protests that happened here not too recently, not too far ago, and those were all led by young people, right? So it was protests across that just started sprouting up on college campus, including our campus here in Indianapolis, and that was 100% young people. And so, they can care about certain issues a lot, and young people care about, say, the environment way more than older individuals do.
Does this have anything to do with, I hate to say work ethic because that's pejorative, but it's easy to show up and protest for a day, right, or 2 days, but to actively get involved in the system and start either working for a candidate or educating yourself on the issues or actively walking and knocking on doors and canvassing and so forth, that's a different animal. Accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and that's even what that book I mentioned points out, is that there's easy ways for us to participate, which might be posting on social media or voting. Voting is considered a fairly easy thing to do. We show up one time every 2 years. Or sending a check. That not many people send checks to a campaign or that thing, but it's still easy. The hard part is I got to go to a meeting, right? I got to spend my time. I'm going to go knock on doors. I'm going to go sign people up to participate. I'm going to wear the shirt and I'm going to knock on doors. That's challenging. And most people don't do that.
I did that one time in my life for a friend who was running for something, and I don't have to go in any more than that, but I'll never do it again. I never will. And it's not, look, I believe in this guy totally, 100%, but I just didn't feel comfortable. And there, look, you know, I always talk about, when you talk about political participation, yard signs, right? And yep. It's hard for me to find anybody that I would back with a yard sign, because what I'm saying at that point is, look, I'm giving him my, what's the word, imprimatur, right here. I'm saying he's my guy, or she's my girl, so if anything goes wrong, blame me. And I don't know that there's a lot of people that I believe in enough to do that. However, canvassing is an animal in and of itself. For people that don't know what that is, Aaron, explain, if you would, please. Have you ever canvassed, by the way?
Yeah, actually, and I did, of course, when I was younger. So back getting out of college, I was a campaign manager for a state house race in Michigan.
Really?
And so, yeah, I was participating in that. So I was knocking on doors every single day. And so it's so critically important, because what research actually in political science shows is that it actually has an effect, particularly with turnout. If you want to get your people to turn out, knock on their door and remind them that, and ask them to vote. I mean, people really appreciate just being asked to vote. Getting people out and knocking on doors has a huge effect on politics. If you want to make a difference, that's probably the easiest and quickest way to do it, more than just posting on social media.
but it's hard work, and people, and not just hard work, but it can be uncomfortable sometimes where you go up to somebody's door and knock on the door and actually interact with them and explain to them why you're candidate. How would you canvass? What did that look like when you did it? I'm just curious.
So, yeah, so back in the 90s, we had a list of basically every single house in our district, from street to street, and we knew whether or not anyone had voted in a primary or had voted in previous elections. And so we would knock on their doors if they had ever voted before, and we didn't know exactly who voted. We just knew that the house had a voter in it, and you had your paperclip, you had your script, and you had some pamphlet to give them, so that they would have it. And most people are nice to you. I ran into a few people who was like, oh, boy, this is not great. Some people even are saying, yeah, give me a yard sign and we'll put it up in our yard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it had a lot of great interactions. And, of course, the ones where you get a little heated, can scar you for life.
That jackass. That's, I'm sorry to bother you. Thank you. Have a good day. Because apparently I'm not going to win you over. When you would encounter opposition, would you try to surface those objections and change your mind, or just walk away?
Well, some people were, would get emotional about it. So then you just kind of slow down and you're just like, okay, well, we can disagree. But a lot of times the people who had opposition actually just wanted to debate. Mm-hmm. And when I was, 18, I loved debating. So I was happy to stand there and debate with anyone.
See, I'm going to pick your brain some more on this, having canvassed myself, because, and I'll ask the audience here at the Quinnard Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. And somebody texted in about the young people in the political process. Is the apathy about, they don't feel that they can change anything, even if they did get involved. And another question is, do they believe in either party enough? Because that's something that I think I want to address. I know I want to address it, but I think is important when we return, because are young adults disenfranchised with both Republicans and Democrats? And if so, what does that mean for the future? We're talking to Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. The Quinnard Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Don't text and drive. But let me know, how have you reacted when somebody's knocked on your door canvassing for a candidate? Or it may have even been, I know in Belchase, we get the candidate themselves knocking on doors. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, about a new AP NORC poll that shows that younger people are not really that interested. They're less likely to say voting is important, I guess it'd be a more accurate way to put it. So when it comes to feeling as though nobody represents them, is that part of this where neither the Democrats or the Republicans represent them? Or tell me about that.
Right. I mean, this is what we call political efficacy. So that's it. internal political efficacy is a sense that I personally understand politics well enough to participate. And then there's external political efficacy, which is, even though I might feel like I know it, does anyone care? And it's certainly that the younger people feel that, you know, this low sense of external political efficacy, where they don't believe the system actually wants to hear from them or will respond to them when they actually say something or come out to try and, you know, influence politics.
So when you look at this study, does that give the advantage to one party or the other? Not necessarily.
Well, it gives an advantage to a party that depends on older individuals who tend to have stronger, you know, connections to the political system and are more likely to participate in it and more likely to turn out. So if you're, you know, you're a political party or you're campaigning and trying to gain older votes, you are going to have more success because they're much more likely to turn out.
So it seems like if younger people feel as though the system's not working, so I'm not going to vote, well, all that does is give power to the people that are making the system, in their opinion, not work. And the cycle, what is it, lather, rinse, repeat?
Right, yeah, self-reinforcing system here. But luckily, what, you know, data shows is that as they get older, they recognize the importance of participation. And so by the time they're in their 30s and 40s, they start participating. The exact same people start participating at a much higher rate.
So is it too late by then or not?
Well, no. I mean, unless
you change to change the government. That's what I'm saying. Policy is what I'm saying. Because here's a question. To me, here's the eternal question is, when people get to be 30 and 40, do they then realize what the people that were 30 and 40 when they were 20 realized? And then they're not as concerned with the greater good as they are their own or their own special interests? Or you understand what I'm saying, Aaron? Which goes before what?
Right, yeah. So it's a question of, do people, is there a life cycle effect in policy preferences, right? Does it change as you get older, or is it a cohort effect, meaning Gen X has certain policy preferences versus baby boomers versus Gen Z now? And actually what we see in data is that policy preferences for, say, a generation don't actually change. So every new generation tends to be more liberal than the previous one. And so you see this as they move through the system, you know, throughout their entire lives, their policies tend to stay pretty stable. You know, there's some variance, obviously, at the individual level, but overall, the cohort tends to be more liberal than the age cohort before
them. Then why are we as a country more conservative than we've ever been, it seems?
Well, how we define conservative, because if you think about, you know, 50 or 100 years ago, the policies are significantly different.
That's true. That's exactly right. It depends on how you define conservative. Thank you, Aaron. Very interesting conversation. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. We come back. We'll talk to Larry Carter, President of Louisiana Federation of Teachers. Schools started back for many. We'll talk about the challenges that teachers are facing and what their biggest concerns are and how many teachers actually have to go into their own pockets to help supplement what's going on in the classroom. And I know that happens on a regular basis, and the teachers aren't making that much to begin with. So then you're saying, all right, well, we're going to pay you X. Out of that, you're going to have to take some money to pay for supplies, which it seems as though the school should be providing, but it doesn't always happen that way. 6:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.